brought to you by Penguin. Life Lessons from a Brain Surgeon by Rahul Jandial. Read by Graham Winton.
Prologue. It felt absolutely medieval. This wasn't a maneuver that would work with gradual pressure like the tightening of a vice. It needed a quick, crushing force. So I used a head holder with 1-inch-long steel pins to secure the skull to the operating table. That way, if my patient started to move, her head would remain still and I wouldn't accidentally kill her. The 3 metal pins would need to bite down into her skull after puncturing her scalp. 1 pin in her forehead, 2 in the back, all connected to a C-shaped clamp. While my assistant held up the patient's head from the neck, I explosively captured her cranium inside the steel device. The jarring noise from the metal gears made the students, nurses, and doctors standing behind me in the operating room fall silent. The first of several hundred steps that needed to go smoothly, quickly, and perfectly had just been completed. So began my first time opening the skull of a living human being. I was a third-year resident at the University of California, San Diego, Department of Neurosurgery. My patient was in her mid-30s and had come to the hospital's emergency room 2 days before, reporting a peculiar weakness and awkwardness in her left arm and hand. An MRI had revealed a bright white abnormality on her brain, a tumor the size of a peach. Many times before, I had stood beside senior neurosurgeons assisting, observing, and learning, but this was my first time going solo. It's an odd thing, brain surgery. There's fear, of course, but also awe that you're literally inside somebody's head, which elicits intensity as well as excitement. I don't want to sound indelicate, but for me, it's a thrill. Some people like skiing or mountain climbing or playing poker. I like operating on people's brains. The risk is that I will nick a vein and a part of the brain will die, or I will go in at the wrong spot and won't be able to reach most of the tumor, or everything will seem to go perfectly during the surgery, but the patient will wake up unable to speak for the rest of their life. The hope, and why I do it, is that this woman, who just got married 3 months ago and has much of her life ahead of her, will have her strength and fine control of her left hand restored as good as new. Despite having abnormal tissue in her brain, this patient was pretty lucky because the mass wasn't malignant. Her life wasn't at risk from the tumor. Just from me. But as long as the tumor remained and continued to grow, her muscle weakness could worsen and spread. It was nestled in the motor strip of the right parietal lobe, a half-inch-wide, 7-inch-long ribbon of brain tissue that sends movement signal to the left side of the body. This particular type of tumor is called a meningioma because it grows from the lining, meninges, of the brain. Since the skull can't stretch, the tumor knuckles into the brain, deforming it, without actually penetrating the tissue. The pressure, however, interferes with the electrical signals, leading to weakness. After drilling off a circular piece of bone near the top of her skull, what brain surgeons call turning the flap, I gently sliced with a number 11 scalpel into the dura, the thin cloth-like membrane that protects the brain. I scored and lifted the dura, but went no farther. And there it was. I could see the tumor on the very surface of the brain. In contrast to the glistening opalescence of healthy brain tissue, it was yellow, dull, and irregularly spherical. I began by entering the center of the tumor, coring it like the yolk of a hard-boiled egg until it was hollow, leaving behind only its tougher rim. Then I delicately worked its shell away from the surrounding brain, collapsing it into itself. This is the hard part, because the edges have bridging spider-like thin fibers, and the surrounding tissue is as soft as pudding. Slowly, methodically, I divided those wisps with a curved 8-inch scissor. 2 hours of doing this under magnification and illumination, and the tumor was out. I bathed the brain's surface with sterile water to check for any oozing or dripping blood vessels. Then it was time to close.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?